Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, upgrading windows to help curb appeal and keep homes efficient. More at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, May 6th. I'm Abby Larico. A local mom found inspiration in an unlikely setting, stuck at an airport with a crying baby. After a series of delays, she's now launched a business for people in the same situation.
First and foremost, it was an idea because I was a mom struggling, and then it turned into a business.
Why she hopes her idea helps all air travelers. Coming up after this news on The Gateway. Preparations for the Festival of Nations are back on. The event in Tower Grove Park typically draws thousands to its showcase of the diversity of St. Louis, but its future had been uncertain. The International Institute announced in February that planning for this year's festival was paused after 60% of its staff was furloughed due to cuts in federal funding. The festival will look slightly different this year, with a smaller marketing budget and fewer performances from regional artists, but the Institute still expects a variety of vendors to join the event. David Gonzalez is the Vice President of Development at the International Institute.
I think if this event went away, people would feel isolated. They would feel like this was one of the few times where our community can come together and experience different cultures. And so I think that there really is a desire to experience that and to come together and celebrate in a positive way.
The Festival of Nations is scheduled for August 23rd and 24th. A St. Louis nonprofit that provides nature education to city kids is losing almost $500,000 in federal funding. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports.
AmeriCorps awarded Gateway to the Great Outdoors more than $490,000 to expand its programming. But cuts prompted by Elon Musk's Doge took the funding away late last month. Nadav Sprague founded Gateway to the Great Outdoors and says it gets kids off screens and into nature.
It's not a controversial thing. We are providing high-quality, interactive, outdoor science education to students in city public schools.
The cuts forced the organization to lay off 10 staff members, or about 70% of its team. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
University of Missouri leadership is circulating proposed policy changes that could impact student protesters. If adopted, the policy would deny permits for amplified sound weekdays from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Permits would also only be issued for stationary activities, meaning no marches would be allowed to use megaphones or speakers. Isleen Atala is president of Mizzou Students for Justice in Palestine, the student group that routinely holds protests on campus. She says her organization had already stopped applying for permits.
It's kind of the precedent that the university set, that every time, even when we got approved, they rescinded the approval. So it stopped being something that we wanted to worry about, you know?
First Amendment scholars say as a public institution, MU is allowed to regulate the time, manner, and place of speech, but the new policy may be unconstitutional because it could be overly broad and give the university too much power to decide who gets permits and who doesn't. A university spokesperson declined to comment. More hemp is being produced across the country. The U.S. Department of Agriculture reports a 64% increase in the number of acres planted last year. But as Harshon Ratanpal reports, Missouri is seeing the opposite trend.
The amount of hemp planted in Missouri has been falling for 2 years in a row. Just 550 acres were planted last year, down from 1,750 acres the year before. Missouri used to be one of the leading states for hemp production before the crop was essentially banned in the 1930s. It's only been 6 years since Congress removed the ban. Eleazar Gonzalez is an agricultural economist at Lincoln University's Hemp Institute. He says more than half the hemp Missouri farmers planted last year didn't even make it out of the ground.
We are learning, but we are still dealing with genetics, with markets.
The university was promised $5 million from a Biden-era program to develop genetics and markets for hemp, but the Trump administration has canceled the program. I'm Harshon Ratanpal.
An independent forecasting commission is increasing revenue projections for the state of Illinois. Capital News Illinois reports the Bipartisan Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability is boosting revenue projections for both the current and upcoming fiscal year. The revisions follow strong income tax receipts to the state in April, showing income taxes up 20% this April compared to last year. The commission now expects the state to finish the current fiscal year with $700 million more than lawmakers budgeted for. Lawmakers are expected to wrap up next year's budget by May 31st. Illinois Secretary of State Alexi Janulius says people should make sure they need a real ID before going to try to get one. Starting tomorrow, travelers will need a real ID or passport to board a domestic flight. Janulius says false information about who needs a real ID before tomorrow is creating long lines at license branches.
We have been saying for months and over a year now that even after May 7th, you will still be able to get a real ID. The real ID deadline isn't really a deadline.
He says his office will issue real IDs for the foreseeable future. Air travel can be stressful for anyone, especially with a little one in tow. Coming up, the story of how one St. Louis mom found opportunity in a travel nightmare and is working to help other families on the go. On a spring weekday afternoon at St. Louis Lambert International Airport, plenty of families are navigating air travel in style.
So I have a bag right over here. I put one under the plane, but I also have a bag that has clothes.
Toddler style.
I always just overpack.
I think two short flights are better than one long one.
Yeah.
Oh, I think you need like an extra frontal lobe, almost.
Nia Anderson, Matt Ramsbottom, Ruxar Kanam, and their respective toddlers each have different itineraries, but the same agenda. Prepare to be unprepared.
I mean, you can run out of diapers, you can run out of wipes, you can run out of food, and you're screwed.
That's one word for it. Stressed, helpless, and probably a little stinky is how Kelly Garrow remembers feeling when it happened to her, running out of all of those essentials when her family, including her six-month-old daughter Lucy, was caught in an unexpected four-hour layover.
It was incredibly stressful. You pop into all those little stores expecting something. Nothing. So I was like walking up and down the terminal, trying to soothe her in any way possible. And then on the flight, she just cried. She was so hungry. I mean, she hadn't eaten in hours.
She still carries the trauma of that trip 8 years later. In her various travels since, she's continued seeking out resources for parents experiencing what she did and continuously comes up short.
There are vending machines for dogs. There are makeup vending machines. There are headphones. It's like, you obviously, all you want to do in life is to comfort your baby, and when there aren't any options to help you do that, it's incredibly stressful, and I just couldn't figure out for the life of me why that need still persists today.
Necessity, being the mother of invention, inspired this mother to come up with a solution, a vending machine, fully stocked and easy to access, carrying the essentials for traveling with a baby.
First and foremost, it was an idea because I was a mom struggling. And then it turned into a business.
Do you have anyone else with pre-order on your boarding pass?
A lot of ideas land on the desk of St. Louis Airport Director Rhonda Hamnabrighi, who can still recall the chaos of traveling with her own young family.
There's so much thought that has to go into what do I need if I'm traveling with young children.
Even businesses with the potential to take off, though, have a lot to navigate. The Go Baby vending machine, a concept born out of a delay, after all, took nearly 3 years after Hamnabrighi and Gera first got connected to arrive at the airport.
You know, I give her so much credit for sticking out, knowing that it's not an easy process.
So all you need to do is just tap on the screen.
Gera demonstrates the machine itself is quite simple.
Right now we have size 3 diapers, size 4 diapers.
Gera and her husband stock and operate the machine. Sales so far, she says, have been above and beyond expectations.
We have pain reliever, snacks for babies, wipes.
Now she's working to put more Go Baby machines on the map, maybe additional airports or other popular destinations around the St. Louis region where families on the move can often find themselves stuck.
When I first had the idea, I didn't have the energy, really the means to even make it into something bigger, but I knew that it was a necessary need.
We have families with children under the age of six.
She hopes even for those who never have to use one of the machines, the sight of Go Baby makes the plight of parents on the move more visible and maybe a little less audible.
You know, when there's babies getting on a plane and they're crying, instead of being rude or condescending to the parents, it's important to have some understanding, you know, and realize, oh, okay, that's it's very difficult.
A good idea and a little empathy can go a long way. Thanks to my editor on that piece, Jonathan All. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.